All week, we've been bringing you environmentally themed stories to celebrate Earth Week 2017. Today is the final story in the series. However, the people behind this story hope it is just the beginning. That's because tomorrow afternoon, more than 1,300 people are expected to march for science in downtown Milwaukee.
Organizers here drew inspiration from a march, also on Earth Day, in Washington, D.C. That D.C. event was put together because of concern that scientific research and its funding are at risk, both nationally and locally.
Like Effect's Susan Bentz spoke with two Milwaukee event planners who are also setting up an organization to live beyond the march called Milwaukee Area Science Advocates.
There's more on that later, but first meet organizer Brandon Gross. The research specialist with UWM School of Freshwater Sciences explains what contributed to his love of science. He says his mom had a lot to do with it.
Luckily for me, my mother took me frequently to the Mitchell Park Domes. She took me to the lakefront and the public parks and Discovery World and Betty Brin Children Museum. I benefited from a lot of that. I grew up watching Bill Nye the Science Guy. He was a major influence for me. He's actually also a part of the National March, too. So it's really exciting to be marching alongside one of my childhood heroes. That all culminated in me being interested in science as a practice. Now the specific topic that I wanted to get into took 15 more years to figure out. I remember being a little kid and collecting toy dinosaurs, and I was obsessed with Jurassic Park, and I wanted to be a paleontologist. And then when I got into high school, I got interested in animal biology, and I entertained being a veterinarian. And once I finally went to college at University of Wisconsin, La Crosse, I fell in love with ecology. Because if anyone's been to La Crosse, I mean, it's beautiful. You have the bluffs, you have the river, you have Myrick Marsh. You're just surrounded by nature all the time.
Internships and research threw Gross into intriguing projects around the country.
My field experience being on a research vessel at the University of Southern Mississippi, some of my experience studying water during my master's thesis all came together, and they recognized those abilities and gave me an opportunity to work here as a research specialist with Dr. Russell Cool and Dr. Carmen Aguilar, going out on a big research vessel in Lake Michigan, studying the chemistry and the biology and the ecology of the Lake Michigan ecosystem.
Brendan, did you hesitate at all in deciding to jump into this?
I didn't hesitate at all. I thought this was a cause that was long necessary. There needs to be more visibility for the value of science, both in funding and in scientific thinking. I feel that those are both under threat. And in my career of being in a bubble of science, I mean, that's really what it is. I'm surrounded by nothing, more or less people who appreciate the value of rational thought, who appreciate the value of science funding. But if you map that onto the general public, it gets turned on its head, where we have a much lower emphasis on, let's say, public policy that sticks to evidence, that we have states in this nation where they're not allowed to use the term climate change. Florida is not allowed to use the term climate change in a state building. So I see that in our country as a whole, with certain scientific endeavors, people are putting their fingers in their ears. This is the same science that makes your planes fly, that causes your microwave to heat up your soup. And yet when it tells you something you don't like, you want to ignore it. You want to condemn it. So I saw that as vital to our civilization to not put science on the back burner, to not put rational thought on the back burner. We need to highlight it because it's a foundation of democracy. If we don't have a well-informed voter base, then we don't have a well-functioning democracy. So it's not just me being self-interested and wanting to preserve my career because obviously I benefit from science funding, working in the sciences. It's that I want our next generation to have benefited from us going the direction of evidence-based policies, because those are what work.
Elizabeth Ferris didn't hesitate jumping in. She's heading social media.
I got involved with the March for Science Milwaukee by kind of when I started seeing on social media the snowball effect, like from the DC March, that there was going to be sister marches. I had decided to get involved. Mainly, I mean, I do care about science and I want to advocate for it, but my father is a researcher out at Dartmouth. He runs one of the chemistry labs, and he's taken, I believe, 13 trips to Antarctica to drill ice cores. And so I wanted to do this to kind of honor his work and all the research that he spent his life doing. So I got involved with the March for Science for that reason.
Another part of Ferris's motivation is her own children.
Yeah, for the boys. I believe that science being involved in our communities is going to create better communities, just even on a local basis, but obviously on a world basis too, when you're looking at climate change, when you're looking at, yeah, the temperature shifting, that trying to preserve what we have and protecting things will be better for the kids in the future because they're the ones that are going to deal with this.
You grew up in a scientific atmosphere, but do you find some people are either intimidated, frightened, if they don't have a basic understanding of science to a certain degree and the role it plays in our world?
I would say that they do. Almost kind of like an invisible wall up where they're almost telling themselves that they can't understand it, that they can't push past that. And I think this is a really good awakening for the science community to realize that wall exists and to look at how they're presenting their information to the public and putting it out there in a way that's easily absorbable. And also, I'm hoping it creates awareness for the public to look at that material and absorb it, I guess.
Yeah, one of the reasons why we have the Actual Living Scientist series on the website, and one of my personal goals, is to break down that barrier between scientists and the community. I want people to know what I'm doing. I serve the community through my research. They fund much of what we do through taxpayer money. And they are owed that information, right? So that's another good way to think about it. I agree with Beth, even from the inside. I see that sentiment about science and about scientists is that it's this intimidating thing that is very esoteric, and it's all a bunch of white lab coat wearing men pouring colored liquids into beakers. Right. And it couldn't be further from that, not just in that science doesn't actually look like that, but it's also science has the potential to be a community effort. Now, we can have a conversation about what scientists have done and what the community may have done to separate and create a barrier, but we want to break it down regardless of the reasons. So it's not just a matter of reaching out to the public and saying, hey, go understand some science. We're not that arrogant. We're saying, okay, we need to speak to each other because the scientists are the community. I mean, they're just citizens. So if we can get the public talking to the scientists and the scientists talking to the public and a much better group cohesion of community, then I think we'll all benefit because it'll become less intimidating. I think it was Einstein that said if you can't explain it to a six-year-old, you don't understand it well enough yourself. So there is a failure of science communication if we're not getting the importance of certain things out to the public, that I think we're going to make a huge concerted effort towards working on with this.
On our website right now, we are publishing our own articles. We have three different series going on: The Actual Living Scientist, Science in the News, and Science in Milwaukee.
You've taken steps already to create an organization that with staying power that goes beyond the march.
Yeah, we've created the Milwaukee Area Science Advocates, public policy, science education, sustainability, and public health. So those will be our pillars.
Somebody said that it's been a long time in coming. Do you feel like this must happen now in terms of the march, in terms of the connecting and, you know?
I feel that it's very critical to do something now because the long-term irreparable effects of stripping science funding from some of the major institutions in our country will be reverberated forever. our children's children will be reaping the consequences if we do that, as it relates to climate change, as it relates to public health, as it relates to quality air, quality water, as it relates to technological innovation, as other countries innovate and we fall behind. So every minute we're not investing, we're not publicly appreciating science and rational thought and evidence-based policy, is a second that we're falling behind and we're bearing the consequences onto our children. So I see it as something that needed to happen 20 years ago, 10 years ago, but the sooner the better.
For Lake Effect, I'm Susan Bentz.
Elizabeth Ferris and Brandon Gross are two of the organizers of the March for Science Milwaukee. It's happening Saturday starting at 2 p.m. at Red Arrow Park. You can find out more about the march and the group's mission at WUWM.com. They need advice and touchdown.